If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 9. That's where we're going to start, in Luke chapter 9. Before we partake of communion, we're going to finish up, and we're going to, because we've been doing this thought for 2 weeks already, it should be a little shorter, and we're going to be looking at the New Testament, and we've kind of used these passages as starting out the last two Sunday nights, and then jump to the Old Testament, but we're going to finish up this idea of excuses, and I prayed about it as far as looking at it when it comes to communion, and I think it does apply to ourselves, because after you think of what Christ did for you, and you think of the blood that was shed and his body that was broken, what excuse do you come up with? What excuse? And that's what we need to examine ourselves. That's what, remember, in 1 Corinthians 11, the Bible tells us as we come to the communion table to examine ourselves. So we're examining ourselves when it comes to this idea of excuses. I read of a pastor. I like this idea. So someday we may steal it. He thought it was pretty funny, so he did an ad in the paper, and he called it No Excuse Sunday. And he wanted to make it possible for everyone to attend church. So he had No Excuse Sunday. And this is the advertisement he put out. He said, cots will be placed in the foyer for those who say Sunday is my only day to sleep in. There'll be a special section with lounge chairs for those who feel that our pews are too hard. Eye drops will be available for those with tired eyes from watching TV late Saturday night. We'll have steel helmets for those who say the roof would cave in if I ever came to church. Blankets will be furnished for those who think the church is too cold. There you go. Fans for those who say it's too hot. Scorecards will be available for those who wish to list the hypocrites present. Relatives and friends will be in attendance for those who can't go to church and cook dinner. Two, we will distribute stamp out stewardship buttons for those that feel the church is always asking for money. One section will be devoted to trees and grass for those who like to see God in nature. Doctors and nurses will be in attendance for those who plan to be sick on Sunday. The sanctuary will be decorated with both Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies for those who have never seen the church without them. And we will provide hearing aids for those who can't hear the preacher and cotton for those who can. So I thought that was a pretty good idea. No Excuse Sunday. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We've considered the idea of excuses kind of in the Old Testament. There's a lot of other excuses. And it's a good study to do sometime if you're thinking about it, wanting to come up with excuses. Look at the Bible and see those that came up with excuses and see what God thought of them. It wasn't great, and it seemed as though, and sometimes, and praise the Lord for this, you'll see someone that came up with excuses, even Moses. You see other ones that maybe hesitated a little bit, like Peter. And so sometimes you'll see someone that came up with an excuse, but then God was able to kind of stir them up, and they set aside the excuses and continued on for God. And that's our goal in looking at the idea of excuses. Excuses are keeping, for most of us sitting here, it's what keeps us from knowing and growing in the Lord and in Christ. Statistics tell us this, those that have studied it, 99% of all failures are people who have a habit of making excuses. If you really want to know a person, if you really want to know how someone ticks, listen to their excuses. I don't know how many excuses I've heard in my short lifespan. Excuses why someone won't trust the Lord. Maybe excuses why, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this for the Lord. You know, I'm too young. I've got the rest of my life. I'm too old. It's too late. I've done too many wrong things. God couldn't take me. God couldn't use me. I have a career to think about. Excuses, they get in the way of us doing stuff for the Lord. Growing up, you might have heard this. I can remember growing up, I used to hear this song, excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply you if from church you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Excuses. What excuse do you use to keep out of church, to keep from doing what God asks you to do? May, as we consider excuses in the New Testament, just a couple, may it work in our hearts. And as we come in just a few moments to take the elements where we look at the bread, and then we partake of the fruit of the vine, and it reminds us of the shed blood of Christ, I'm glad he didn't use excuses. He was God. They treated me wrong. They did, actually. He was sinless. I don't deserve this. He was right. His excuses almost had validity to it. Praise the Lord. He died, as the song says, for you and for me. Heavenly Father, I pray that as this evening we consider the idea of excuses one last time, I pray that we would examine ourselves. Lord, we would consider, Lord, whether we've been using excuses to keep us from doing that which we should be doing for you. As always, Lord, do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at three passages. The two that we've been looking at already, one is in Luke 9. In Luke 9, starting in 57, it says, it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Two simple ideas this evening when it comes to excuses. In Luke chapter 9, we see excuses cause delay or cost delay. And what do we mean by that when we say excuses cost delay? They result in things not getting done that should be done. That's what excuses do. And maybe that's what you've been doing. You've been saying, well, I'll do that later, or I'll get my, I know Joe and I talk about this, I'll get my CDL later. Okay, thank you. All right, but you know what that means? That somewhere, right now we were talking this morning, you know, there's a couple of guys, we have the buses, and we're trying to split some routes, but we got to have drivers. So what excuse is there? Oh, I need my Sunday morning. Yeah. It's my only day off. Okay. Well, thanks for thinking of me. All right. You know, can I have that too? All right. Can I have that idea? You know, I'm not preaching this next Sunday. Why? I need a day off. All right. You know what? Come on. Think about me. You know, we can all come up with excuses, but excuses cause and cost delay. I want us to think about a couple of things in this passage. When you think of those, just with this passage, as far as excuses costing delay, as I was reviewing it even this afternoon, consider this: God's commands are worthy of immediate attention. God's commands are worthy of immediate attention. And that's what one of it kind of his points there. You know, many commentators, when you look at especially verse 59 and 60, some people are like, whoa, man, Jesus is just so hard. But they point out, let me first go and bury my father. If you know Jewish tradition, probably his father wasn't dead. All right, because of all that goes into the burial and all that, because you would probably be there. So more than likely what he was saying is, hey, in some year or two, my father's going to die. Yeah. Well, go and preach the kingdom of God. And see, God's commands are worthy of immediate attention, and your excuse is saying that something else is more important than God's command. Be careful of sending out those excuses. Excuses cost delay. God's commands, what it's saying is God's commands are not worthy of immediate attention. Secondly, in this passage, I thought of this. Delay will cause a loss of fervor. And you know that. What happens when you just put something off a little bit? You know, God deals with your heart. Maybe we just got done with stewardship and God dealt with your heart on stewardship. And instead of that weekend, you doing what you're supposed to do, you've waited. You know what happens? The fervor kind of lessens, doesn't it? God deals with your heart. A couple of weeks ago, we heard a message about soul winning. And even last week, we talked about having compassion and that we should have compassion for the lost. And God deals with your heart. And sometimes that happens even in the pew. That's why we have an invitation. You know why we have an invitation? Because when God deals with your heart, it is very good to move on that. Because guess what the devil is good at? Pouring cold water on that decision. And you losing that fervor. And so we need to make sure that we're not making excuses. Delay will cause a loss of fervor in your decision. Thirdly, in this passage, I think as far as excuses cost delay is that you are not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed it. You're not guaranteed, and that's why you need to get at it. That's why you need to be vigilant when God says, hey, I want you to do something. Do it now. Why does God want you to do it now? Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're here now. You can do this now. But tomorrow, you may not be fit. You may not have the mental capacity to do it. You may not have the physical well-being to do it. But right now, what you're doing is saying something else is more important. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. The fourth thing that I see in this passage is that excuses breed cousins. Did you notice? They seem to grow. All right? There's a little breeding ground. Excuses get together. All right? And they have children. All right, they have children and they seem to grow and multiply. And I'm telling you, excuses don't really run in kind of normal, familiar reins kind of guidelines that we have. They're kind of redneck too. You know what I mean? I mean, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles. I mean, they just breed all over the place and all of a sudden they're like rabbits. I mean, you got all these excuses because excuses breed cousins and grandchildren and children and all kinds of things. And that's how excuses, I'm telling you, start using excuses. All of a sudden, you're going to have another one real fast. And then you'll have another one real fast and then another one. And pretty soon, nobody even wants to be around you and ask you for anything because God's like, oh, you know what? Have you seen the list? It's like, all right, there it is. Which one? Oh, number 25. Just look at number 25. I'm a loser. It's just, there's all kinds of excuses that we can have. Excuses cost delay. You know, it's going to cost you something to serve God. Just so you know. It's going to cost you something. And I think some of you think that it doesn't cost you anything to serve yourself. I could take you and some of you on Saturdays. I think it's 8 or 9 nursing homes that we're in on Saturdays. There's a whole bunch of you that visit some people that have served themselves for a long time. And they're pretty miserable. There's others that, you know, they're... Praise the Lord that we can be there and be a help and encouragement to them. But there's others, man, they've lived a very selfish, selfish life. And the devil conned them in saying that, hey, It doesn't cost to live for self. Yes, it does. And then he tells you it doesn't cost to live for him. Have you been to a hospital ward? If you walk through sometimes, I know I've talked with some of you that have had relatives that basically the devil conned them that it doesn't cost to serve him, and they served the bottle. And at about 40-something years old, they're in the grave. You know what? Be very careful and cautious of saying that it only costs to serve the Lord. And really, I understand it costs, but I'm telling you, I don't think you'll have any regrets at the end of your life if you've served the Lord. I've met a lot of people, I've been with a lot of people that were on their deathbed as Christians. I've never met a Christian that was sold out for the Lord that was like, man, I wish you would have drunk. I'm like, what'd you just say? It hasn't happened. I'm like, wow, man, wish I was a drug addict. Nope. Sometimes I go in there and I can remember a few folks, I mean, this was probably a decade, two decades ago, with some folks that I've gone in and you're trying to think, all right, Lord, what do you sell them? What do you say to them? And you go in there and man, they're just such an encouragement because they just love the Lord. See, yeah, it costs. But we need to understand having excuses for serving the Lord, it costs delay. The second passage that I want us to consider is found in Luke chapter 14, and it's the other passage we've been considering as we started. I know last week, I believe, we looked at this passage in Luke chapter 14, verse 16 or 15. When one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it, I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And he tells them to go out even more. And then in verse 24, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. The whole context of this is the gospel, just so you know. The whole context is the gospel. And the gospel is prepared. The banquet is prepared. It's complete. And he bids people to come into the banquet. It's showing the invitation of Christ, and those that disagree, the Calvinists would say, wait a minute, you know, there's a special elect and all this, and they get all bent out of shape. But right here in the text, guess what it's saying? It's saying that the invitation is to everyone. That's what the gospel is given to everyone. And there's nothing that you and I have to do as far as for that banquet. I don't have to go into the banquet. I don't have to go to the kitchen and cook my own food. It's all done. That's the beauty of the gospel. It's a gospel feast that is ready. But in the first, in Luke chapter 9, we see that excuses cost delay. In this passage, we see that excuses cost damnation. And that's what you and I need to consider when we say, when we delay in acting upon what God tells us to do, realize that excuses cost damnation. And what do we mean by that? Here in this passage, did you notice that they said, we're not going to go. I'm busy. And in this, you see the characteristic of the gospel. It's ready. You don't have to do anything but give the gospel to somebody. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to die on the cross. You don't have to shed your blood. You don't have to save anybody. The gospel is ready. So give it out. The gospel is abundant. There's nothing lacking in this feast. There is nothing lacking in the gospel. All that come can feast. Because why? Jesus, as will partake, Jesus is the bread of life. They can partake of that. And so we must be active in sharing the gospel. Why? Because excuses, they cause damnation. In this passage, what we're seeing is that these guys, he said, don't let them in. And people don't like hearing that, but yes, there is a free will. But you reject and reject and reject. And some of you, you've seen that. Right, you've talked to relatives. You've talked to friends and loved ones that you have and saying, please, won't you accept Jesus Christ? It's ready. It's abundant. You don't have to do anything. Like, I'm busy. Excuses cost damnation. And that should weigh on us because there are people out there that have not heard. They have not heard that the gospel is ready and it's abundant. Bring them. Bring them to Christ. Don't use an excuse. Say, well, I don't know what to say. Give them a track. I don't know what to say. Just say, come along with me to church. But you know what to say. It's an excuse. You've sat in the church services. I mean, how many times do we preach on salvation? How many opportunities do you have to learn about soul winning? Over and over. I'm telling you, any of my staff would sit down with you and show you how to lead someone to Christ. We have books down in a bookstore that you can purchase and you can slide it into your Bible. You can cheat all you want. You don't have an excuse. And yet we offer so many excuses. You see the gospel feast. You see the characteristic of the gospel. It's ready. It's abundant. But you see that there's an urgency. You see the urgency? He says, I need people at this banquet. You know why it's urgent for you and I? Because Christ's returning someday. And that means that co-worker, they may not see it as important. But that co-worker without Christ is doomed. Your loved one without Christ is doomed. There's an urgency to the gospel. And you see the reception of the gospel. There are some that are just hard-hearted. There are some that are proud. There are some that are preoccupied. There are some that are self-satisfied. And I think all of that we run into when we're trying to bring the gospel. We're trying to bring them to this banquet feast and say, here it is. The feast is there. You have to do nothing. All you have to do is come and dine. That's it. All you ever need and all you ever desire is there in Christ. And so guess what we should be doing? Stop making excuses and delaying and going out and sharing Christ with others. The gospel, you see something else in this passage. And I think this is very true in our throughout history. And so when the proud and the self-satisfied and the preoccupied, when they all say, No, I'm busy. I've done this. I just bought a piece of land. The gospel's still going to go out. And so guess what we need to do? Look for the needy. Because in this passage, he said, just go out. Because somebody wants to be at the feast. Ask God to lead you, guide you to somebody over the next couple weeks. Stop making excuses. You don't think that there's not somebody in Porter County or LaPorte County or in Lake County? You don't think that there's somebody that is needy? And then the other aspect of this, somebody neglected? That you can't say, hey, I got a feast for you. We actually do have a feast. 2 weeks. But we have a spiritual banquet. I have some place that you can go and you can find Christ. I can't give you all you need. And as you sit there with them, probably they'll tell you all their needs. And they're needy. There's a lot that needs done. But what you can do is you can bring them to Christ. And in Christ, they will find, as in Colossians, I think it's Colossians 3. It says right in the middle of a verse, Christ, who is your life. I love that idea. Because you know what? In Christ, He's everything. Stop making excuses. Many times we make excuses. And we're masters at making the excuses. It's human nature. In Genesis chapter 3, an excuse was made. The man said, the woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me. And I did eat. And remember the woman? She said, the serpent. And the serpent was like, yeah. Uh-oh. All right. It's me. Okay. Got lost. There's no one else. Excuses. In Exodus, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since. Thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Come on, Moses. Remember, God said, hey, I made your tongue and I'll be with you. Stop making excuses. You can look it up. There's a story that is told of a 73-year-old guy that lived in Iowa. His name was Alden. Alden needed to visit his brother. His brother lived on the other side of the state. And Alden couldn't drive to his brother's house. He didn't feel capable of driving there because he couldn't read road signs. His vision was pretty rough. And so because of that, he knew that he could only drive below 20 miles an hour. I think I've been behind this guy. So Alden did what he could. So his brother lived 240 miles on the other side. So he realized there was one thing he could do. He could ride his lawnmower. You can look it up. It's a famous story. Alden Strait is his name. Rode 240 miles on his lawnmower to see his brother because he knew he was dying. I read that, I think, you know, some of us are so sorry with our excuses. All right, there's a way. And actually this morning in our Grown in Grace class, I was thinking about, because Pastor Armacus was talking about diligence, and I knew I'm thinking about excuses. And so he was talking about church and being diligent to church and being diligent and asking people to come out. And he said, isn't it amazing? Because I think of, as far as the idea of the church, you know, depending on what theory or what place you put as far as the start of the church, whether it's Jesus started it or in Acts chapter 2 or some people now, there's a new one. I think it's in the middle of Acts. All right, so you got three different ideas. So if Jesus started it or in Acts chapter 2 or a little bit later, really, you only got about 50 years difference there. So that's about 1900 years that he was saying before the invention of cars. And guess what people did? It was unbelievable. It was like, duh. People went to church before cars. How did they do it? How did they do that? Because not like, I don't have a ride. Like, do you got two legs? Right? Because guess what? In the book of Acts, I believe they went to church. Yeah, and it's the city of Corinth. Yeah, they hadn't even, if you would have said, hey, I don't have a car. They don't even know what it was. They probably somebody came up with it back then. It was probably, hey, I don't have a vehicle. All right, I don't have a vehicle. Can't get there. You don't even know what a vehicle is yet, dude. And you're coming up with the excuse. But that's the way some of us are. Think about it. I mean, just in the last 100 years, unless you were in that special group that had the Model T, all right, they were the only ones that had the car. Everybody else was like, I guess we gotta walk to church. Yeah, that's what they've done just for hundreds of years. But we so often come up with excuses of why we can't do things. May God help us to stop making excuses. The Bible tells us in a passage in Romans, I thought it was an interesting passage. In Romans chapter 13, the Bible says, "And that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." Paul was challenging the church at Rome to say, come on, guys. It's closer now. It's closer now to the Lord's return than this morning. Did you know that? It is. So it's time to get at it. Stop making excuses. May God help us to quit making excuses, because excuses cause delay and excuses also cost eternal damnation. And some soul, I pray it's not because of my excuse that some soul doesn't hear about Christ because of me. I'd help that burden to weigh upon us and stop making excuses. Heads bowed, eyes closed.